Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite show? Good news. Ad-free listening on Amazon Music is included with your Prime membership. Download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/adfreesports. That's amazon.com/adfreesports to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Enjoy thousands of Acast shows ad-free for Prime members. Some shows may have ads.
Welcome to your 2023 work recap. This year, you've been to 127 sync meetings, you spent 56 minutes searching for files and almost missed 8 deadlines. Yikes. 2024 can and should sound different. With Monday.com, you can work together easily, collaborate and share data, files, and updates. So all work happens in one place and everyone's on the same page. Go to Monday.com or tap the banner to learn more.
We acknowledge the Yuggera and Kaurna nations as traditional custodians of the land on which we work, live, and learn, and their continuing connection with the land, waters, and community. We pay our respects to them and their elders, past and present.
All content related to this program is for general informational purposes only and contains stories and discussion around mental health that may be disturbing to some listeners. If you are concerned about yourself or someone you know, please seek professional and individual advice and support. More details are contained in our show notes.
For generations, we have passed down stories from mother to daughter and so on through the spoken word. And I see this platform as a natural progression as we tell our stories. It's just another step in the journey of telling your stories. It's a proven way to connect with our younger generations.
That's Yorta Yorta Narangiri man Keenan Muir, and this is Reframe of Mind,
where we deep dive into discussions about mental health, joined by some of Australia's leading minds to expand our understanding of the world and ourselves.
Because we don't exist in a vacuum, and the way we talk about mental health shouldn't either.
We're your hosts, Louise Poole and Andy Leroy.
In the last episode of Reframe, we visited the subject of change again. Looking more sharply.
It's like we don't make any changes. We just keep going over the same topics.
The same thing again and again.
No, we went more depth last time, so that's a change.
Yeah. We looked a lot more sharply at how we adapt to change and our attitudes towards it.
And something that's become really apparent in our recent conversations, starting with legendary netball coach Lisa Alexander AM, is how the people you surround yourself with can have either a positive or a negative impact on us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we want to make sure that we're surrounding ourselves with people who support us, right?
Yes. Very much yes. That's you, isn't it, Andy?
Well, I suppose, yeah. I mean, someone who knows the value of community and the support it can foster is Yorta Yorta Narangiri man and founder of Indigenerd, Keenan Muir.
Oh, Indigenerd is very cool. I can't wait for people to hear about this if they haven't already. See, Keenan has not only embraced his own community, but he's built one around a common love for gaming and the need for safe spaces to encourage healing, growth, and creativity.
I do remember both of you trying to talk me into Sippy Cup, I think it was.
No, it was Cuphead.
Oh, Cuphead. I think it was Sippy Cup. See, that's how gamey I am.
It's a console game called Cuphead. I don't know if it made the final cut of the interview you're about to hear, but we both, Keenan and I, hated Cuphead, but we were still trying to get you to play it.
Yeah, I gave it a go for 5 minutes and gave up like I normally do. Anyway, so having grown up around Melbourne, Echuca and Shepparton, Keenan was a senior project officer at the Koori Youth Council, which is an advocacy body for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander young people within Victoria.
Keenan managed and organised youth events, including the annual Koori Youth Summit and Blackout, which is a regional event for young people. And through these events, young people are actually able to access feedback loops to talk through what they need within their communities.
And it's from these very foundations that Indigenerd rose in 2018, encouraging healing, growth and creativity by creating safe spaces for this to happen organically. And what better way to bring people together than through a shared interest? Popular culture, video games and comic books.
Oh, and the occasional cosplay outfit.
Oh, yeah.
In Keenan's own words, Indigenerd is a platform promoting the pure deadliness of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander creativity, giving a space to Indigenous creativity doing amazing stuff in the pop culture world and showing the artistry of Indigenous minds and how these inspire an innovative environment.
So we started our interview with Keenan by exploring why pop culture is such a good fit when it comes to Indigenous storytelling.
that's what I built my whole platform around, right? I see storytelling, particularly for Indigenous cultures, as the cornerstone of our culture.
Was one of the reasons that cosplay, I suppose, appealed to you, struck that chord in you so much because it is really about expressing your identity in an individual way?
Yeah, definitely. It didn't start out that way. I mean, my first cosplay was of Arthur from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Which meant I could, you know, get around a convention floor wearing a robe and pajamas.
It was about comfort.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think anyone's going to say no to that. But yeah, definitely down the road, as I did start to do a bit more research around Indigenous representation in comic books, but I also did a bit more research around cosplay and some of the past issues around blackface and the inappropriate expression of cultural attire. As I did a lot more research around that, I started thinking, well, I could really use my platform here to, I guess, progress and inform myself on these situations, but also inform other people of these situations and really use my platform to influence some people. And I think the other part to that was also using my platform to break away from that concept of shame and really show that you shouldn't worry too much about what other people think.
Hmm.
It's expressing your passion that really matters. If it means a lot to you, it means a lot to me. And I think that's incredibly important when you're a young person growing up in the community, you know, in a country town in Victoria. And I think you fall into those negative tropes that, you know, may be influenced on you from being in a country town.
Do you see gaming, for example, as just another way to tell a story? Whereas, you know, you've said that there were verbal traditions and we've got books, we've got all sorts of different ways of telling stories. So yeah. Is gaming another opportunity to speak to people in a different language?
Oh, definitely. For example, I'll use the game Never Alone as an example. So Never Alone follows a young girl from Canada and gets her spirit guide, the Snow Wolf, which guides her on her journey. Now, the story behind that was there was this development company who wanted to produce some sort of story, but also within that community, there were a number of elders who very much wanted to work on revitalizing their language, their traditions, and their culture was on the brink of extinction, really. And it was through this game that they were able to connect with their younger generations of their community. And now, you know, they've seen an explosion of young people who are interested to learn more about their own history and their language and their traditions and their traditional ways of hunting and gathering and even their knowledge structures. And I think that's the ultimate aim of a game. If you can influence the mind of the player to the point of, in this case, influence them to learn more about their own culture, I see that as a definite win.
How can we tell if the game that we're looking at or whatever medium the story is using is authentic? Because I'm kind of thinking there might be a lot out there where it might have been diluted by other cultures or the full story hasn't really come through properly.
Yeah. The person behind, you know, behind that comic book, behind that film, behind that video game, it's how they have brought on Indigenous people to be an integral part of the team to bring that story to life, because I think when we're talking about having our stories told on screen, on the TV, in books, it's so important to recognize that an equally important part to that is involving the culture or a person from the culture for which you're telling the stories of. I think there's saying that springs to mind is nothing about us without us. And I think that's definitely a motto that I think these sorts of mediums need to keep in mind when they're thinking, oh, wouldn't it be cool to tell an Indigenous story or tell this certain aspect of history on Indigenous people? You obviously need an Indigenous person on the team to bring that to life and either say, yeah, we can tell that, or no, that's a definite no, we cannot tell that story.
One of the things that we've been really conscious of with putting this podcast together is we want to be able to have people from a diverse background share their stories. One of the things that has been a hurdle for us is the, I suppose, your standard alpha douche white man says yes straight away. And the more marginalized the voice, the harder it is to get them to want to talk to us. And I think, you know, there's a lot in there about mistrust and what will happen with people's stories. But how do we bridge that gap? Because I think sometimes from this experience, you know, we've really tried hard with trying to get diverse voices. And it might often, I'm kind of beginning to think that the line is blurred. Like maybe we keep going back to the same voices in like a societal point of view because they're easier for people to get.
Yeah, no, I definitely know what you mean. And it is a double-edged sword in terms of a lot of people in the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander community are very wary of, I guess, a lot of the societal structures that we've built in this country. And a lot of those structures have benefited from keeping the oppressed oppressed. And that's, you know, that the emotions of that is times 100 when you're dealing with a people that were on this land as carers of the land before, you know, such a cold, harsh, sterilized way of thinking, you know, set up their, or came to shore in their giant ships. That I think anyone who goes through that sort of emotion has some sort of trauma associated with that. And the thing with our community, that trauma hasn't ended. There's a type of intergenerational trauma that's still being felt, not just from that early arrival, but also from, you know, a lot of the country structures trying to eliminate a lot of our community. A lot of that pain still exists within our community. So it is understandable now that a lot of people are quite wary of who they interact with and the stories that they give out, because it is a massive emotional load to tell your story and to express your culture. I think from the organizational point of view, or from your point of view, you need to develop that safe environment. You need to say, look, we're just looking for a yarn, or even a step before that. It's just, you know, going along to a few community events, talking with a few people from the community. But I think where something like Indigenous or Indigenous Comic-Con comes into play, it's sort of providing that platform to bridge that gap, because the focus ultimately of an Indigenous Comic-Con or Indigenous is that you're placing the focus on the fandom. So, you know, whether that's through Overwatch or Doctor Who or Marvel, you're creating that topic of conversation for the community. But also in that same environment, you're also, I guess, providing a spotlight to Indigenous people who are doing amazing stuff for comic books, for film, for game developers. I mean, there's an Indigenous Comic-Con. We had an illustrator coming from New Zealand who's doing amazing stuff for the WWE, and he's done stuff for DC Comics and Marvel. See, without a platform like that, you would have never interacted or known of his work.
Mm.
And I think that's where, the platforms that I am looking to create hopefully bridges that gap and starts a conversation which will progress into a further conversation and reflection of society and respect and what does it mean to be a diverse community and accept one another.
Yeah, I think also there's a real importance around the concept of having a safe space as well. How much importance do you place on safe spaces also being separate so that subgroups or minority cultures or voices can actually be amongst themselves and relate to each other in those sorts of spaces?
It's tremendously important. I mean, when we're talking about creating safe spaces, we're talking about creating a platform where you don't have to explain yourself. So for a few years, I worked at the Koora Youth Council, which is an advocacy body for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander young people in Victoria. Now, the biggest success that has come out of Koora Youth Council, among many, many other things, has been the Koora Youth Summit. And what that is, it's gathering of Victorian young people from all over the state. We don't exactly advertise it. We don't promote it. We don't seek much sponsorship in the way of we don't want to promote anything to the young people. It's just a space for young people to be young people. And if they want to discuss some community issues that might be in their mind, if they want to discuss some world issues, that's the platform they can do it. But I think when you're creating, going back to my first point, creating these spaces is creating platforms where you don't need to explain yourself. You don't need to explain your background because the same people who are in those spaces have gone through similar journeys to you. And I think that's incredibly important and powerful to not only relax yourself, but to also re-energize yourself, because there isn't that portion of having to explain yourself and project your emotions to someone else and not have to really consider the enormous amounts of cultural loads that you have on your shoulders. That conversation just doesn't take place when you create these safe spaces.
And I appreciate you shouldering that cultural load in this conversation too, because, you know, to explain those things to us, that's something that you're taking on.
Oh, definitely. But, I mean, you need to, through my own personal journey, ultimately I hope that myself, putting myself in these platforms, provides much, much more bigger platforms for, you know, my children, my children's children, and future generations going forward.
I was really surprised to read that cosplay conventions have been around for almost 100 years now. I'm wondering, what are some of the best ways you've seen people portray their heroes across cultures that haven't been subject to those stereotypes?
Well, there's a few. One that does come to mind, and it's not so much around the costume but the process. There was a cosplayer in England who really wanted to produce the dress of the Queen of Wakanda, so Black Panther's mother. And I mention the process because I think, from my view, she's really done it in a respectful way, in terms of she did not alter her skin. She did not alter the costume. She has made a looks like a movie accurate costume to wear to a convention, it just so happens she's not the same culture or skin color as the Queen of Wakanda, but she still made sure there was an element of respect, not just to the character, but to the deeper meaning and the symbolism of the Queen of Wakanda and what that meant to so many cultures around the world. But also, yeah, I think respected the movie and made a pretty kick-ass cosplay, to be honest. It was movie accurate and, yeah, it was just amazing work. Beyond that, I think it's a lot of conversation around cultural appropriation of Indigenous cultures in cosplay typically revolves around the actual costume. So whether it was altered a bit, whether the cosplayer, you know, did in fact choose to change their skin color through makeup, I think a lot of these things have only been thought about on the surface, and a lot of deeper thought is missing there. I think a lot of cosplayers just think, oh, well, I want to recreate this costume I am seeing, but also, I guess, add my own flair to it. And typically that is the addition of other dressings from a culture, and when it steps over to that boundary, it does. That's where you get a lot of conversations around, you know, okay, well, let's talk about the diversity of our community and why this isn't the best thing to do. And I think it just stems from lack of knowledge and a lack of awareness, which, yeah, it's a lot of the panels I've been on, I try to bring that to the spotlight. So we do start that conversation around the do's and don'ts within cosplay.
Psst. Now, we're not ones to usually take a dump on advertisers.
Now, we're really grateful for the businesses that choose to advertise on Reframe of Mind.
But you know what? Sometimes you just want to listen ad-free.
Well, now you can.
Yay!
Just head over to our Patreon.
Patreon.com/ReframeOfMind.
Sign up for the Panacea Pack, and those ad-free programs are all there waiting for you on release day.
Listen to our back catalogue.
Ad-free.
Get access to our long-form interviews.
Ad-free.
And we'll even make you a little thank you video.
Ad-free.
Of course that's ad-free. Why would we play an ad in a welcome video?
Reframe of Mind, now playing ad-free at patreon.com/ReframeOfMind.
Welcome to your daily affirmations. Repeat after me, working with others is easier than ever. I strive for perfect collaboration. Our teamwork keeps getting better.
Yeah, affirmations are great, but Monday.com can really get you the teamwork you desire. Work together easily and share files, updates, data, and just about anything you want all in one platform. Affirm yes to start. Or tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads crashing your comedy podcast party? Good news. Ad-free listening on Amazon Music is included with your Prime membership. Just head to amazon.com/adfreecomedy to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy thousands of Acast shows ad-free for Prime subscribers. Some shows may have ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I think a common stereotype around people who like to play games is that they are just in a basement by themselves in isolation, cut off from the world. But I'm just curious around some of the actual communities that you have seen spring out of gaming.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not that case. I think the gaming community varies so much, and I'm just excited to see more platforms being created to cater to this diverse community, because if all of that is the common trope that tends to be associated with gamers, I think there's the gaming community is so diverse that you don't really know who is on your team, who you might be playing against, and I think in that sense gaming creates that platform where you could have that conversation around, well, what do you do? What attracted you to gaming? And really build up your community there. I'm not too sure within Australia, apart from the amazing work of Abled Gamers and Couch Warriors who are doing so much to create a community environment for gamers, as to what extent that those sorts of platforms are creating an environment to have these deeper conversations, even gauging whether gamers want to have these sorts of conversations. I'm not too sure whether that's taking place, but I think the gaming environment definitely creates that platform to have that conversation. And it's so important, for example, over in Japan, where they do have cultural understandings around work ethics and gaming and conventions and the influence of anime, manga, and pop culture in general. They're only now, or within the past couple of years, having these conversations around, okay, so let's talk about esports and a healthy diet, and you have to get a good night's sleep because that will influence your reaction time, and you need to think a bit more strategically, and everything around the art of war, because ultimately the goal, you're in a competition to win this game. So I guess it's all connected, and platforms such as gaming can create an environment to have those sorts of conversations.
It's really interesting you talk about gaming and anxiety. One of the reasons that I love, I think, gaming so much is because it becomes immersive and a distraction from my anxiety. Whether it's, playing, even though there is a certain amount of anxiety caused by me not being able to pass certain things or win certain things in the game. But I think that as a distraction is something that I know people say when, our kids spend too much time on screens and devices and blah, blah, blah. But I think they miss the point that sometimes what people are searching for is that distraction that feels better than what's going on in your head. And gaming can provide that.
Certainly. I think where the distinction is, we're finding a lot more younger people who are watching YouTube channels that are based on esports, and we're finding a lot more younger people who are themselves becoming involved in tournament-style esports competitions. A lot of the games like COD or Fortnite or Apex, there is quite a heavy element of having to communicate with your team members. And if you don't know what a toxic team member is or a toxic environment, then you're really going to take that as just a status quo in the gaming community, and which affects yourself as a gamer, because you're always thinking to yourself, oh, why I should have made that better. I could have been better. I could have been faster. I could have had their back or whatever. But it's not, they're now treating it as a competition, not a game. And I think that's where that level of anxiety comes into it, which ultimately has you as a person expressing your emotions and, you know, draining your emotions into this monitor, which is affecting, you know, you as a person during family time or you at school with your friends. Yeah, so in saying that, I think there needs to be a platform there of learning and, you know, how to deal with the gaming community, toxic personalities, maybe even some time management stuff in relation to you should be aiming to have not be on the game for the whole day.
Yeah. Well, Overwatch isn't so toxic to me because I turned off the chat.
Oh, yes. No,
because I really enjoyed maining Symmetra and she went through a stage where everybody hated her. So I just turned off the chat and I just go in and do my thing and prove them all wrong.
Yes, yes, exactly. Cosplay attracted me because it had a lot of people who went through similar journey to myself. And what I mean by that is that a lot of people who did struggle with anxiety, did struggle with some feelings of depression, were, I guess, known a bit more introverted to society. Cosplay was a way for myself to, I guess, test myself and do something out of the ordinary. But what I found was a support structure within cosplay, within finding a new circle of friends who understood what I went through. It's like it's going back to creating safe spaces. I didn't have to explain myself because we were all there, you know, for something else. In my case, it was for Marvel, so which meant I got to completely geek out over everything Marvel. But it also opened up the conversation around mental health and, you know, coping mechanisms and, you know, providing that level of support to one another. And it's just so critical to create those sorts of platforms, especially for young people. I mean, in today's society, we're seeing a lot of young people who are turning to gaming, who are going through, to be honest, quite a traumatic journey. You know, they may have grown up in a single parent family and the only solace they find is with a video game. And a lot of these kids are also growing up with terrible bouts of anxiety and they might be introverted and they're not really big on talking to other people, which also affects them going to school or them seeking to further their knowledge. And ultimately, I want to bridge that gap where I could start the conversation with them about pop culture, about comic books, about their favorite video game. And then, you know, once you start talking with them or, you know, even playing with them on through COD or Overwatch or Fortnite, or maybe not Fortnite because I tried that and I was terrible.
So was I.
But I have no idea how young people do it. It's just so many things to remember. But it's all about starting that conversation with them, which opens up another conversation, which opens up another conversation. And if you can become a person where, you know, for a young person, you can be relied on and you can act as a that person who is there where you can confide in, then I think that's a pretty deadly platform to create, and that's the goal, really.
One of the themes that I think keeps coming out of this chat is that what we can do is we can use things like hobbies and interests to kind of find a common ground with people who are different than us. I think that's really powerful.
Yeah. Oh, it's enormously powerful. When I started going around to these conventions, I mean, a lot of the conversations that all began from, I don't know, I was in the line to meet Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman from a lot of the games, just standing in that line and talking to the people around me, really opened my eyes in just how diverse everyone is, but we're all connecting on this one fandom and all agreeing that Batman is a kick-ass superhero, and he doesn't even have powers. What?
The power of money.
Yes, exactly.
There was something you said in an article about Indigenous superheroes not needing masks, and I thought that was – I had never considered that until I read that a lot of superheroes do hide behind masks, but Indigenous ones tend not to.
Yeah. No, I think that also – partly goes out to any superheroes of color, really. I think there's a lot of pride in being a superhero of color, and it may be rooted back to that, where you feel such an enormous sense of pride, but also an enormous sense of responsibility in representing your whole community, that masks are just a way to, I guess, drop the narrative of actually having a person behind the symbol, which I think is much more incredibly proud than ultimately, well, really, it's a double-edged sword, because when you do think back to someone like Spider-Man with the narrative of, anyone can be Spider-Man, I think that's an incredibly powerful message also. But in terms of actually presenting yourself, your face, your image, your uniqueness, I think there's a lot of power in understanding that I don't need to wear a mask to, to be a superhero. Not just a superhero, I'm also a black person, and you better recognize that when I smash down the doors or when I fly through the air or whatever.
Keenan, it's really quite clear that you're working with your passion every day in what you do. And I'm just wondering, firstly, does it take a lot of courage, do you feel, to do that? And how important is it to take a chance on your passion?
It does. It is quite a lonely platform, to be honest, to come out and sort of be not the only voice, but be one of the voices at the forefront of this conversation. But what I tend to do, I try to relate it back, inform myself on the work of the warriors of the Aboriginal resistance, for example. A lot of their work is around advocacy and activism for our people. And ultimately, that's exactly what I'm doing. It's a different medium, but the message is pretty much the same in terms of there need to be more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who are not just recognized, but are fully embedded in the pop culture world, whether that's, like I said, behind the camera, behind the comic book, behind the video game. I think it's incredibly important to have a diverse perspective on stories, and Indigenous storytellers are some of the best in the world, in my opinion. But yeah, it is quite taxing on you, because you are, you are showing your passion, and, there's a lot of feelings of, oh, well, will other people connect with this? Is this the right thing to do? Am I saying the right things? Which I think from an Indigenous community perspective is also important, because the last thing I would want to do is to hurt my community in any way, shape or form. But also in saying that, we need these platforms. I want to produce this platform so young people, generations in front of me, can not only have this platform, but also thrive from this platform in the pop culture world. Yeah, I don't do this to benefit myself right now. I do this to benefit my, you know, seven generations in front of me.
Keenan, you don't have a mask on, but you certainly do sound like a superhero to me.
Oh, thank you.
That is, I think what you're doing is incredible. So important. How much would this have helped you as 12, 13-year-old Keenan if a platform like this existed then?
So much. It would have meant so much. Growing up, I mean, around that age, you're still understanding who you are. I think we all have gone through that stage of understanding who you are, your position in society. But I think to further that, for a young Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander person growing up, there's also that added learning that you have to have around the deeper meaning of this society and the treatment of your community, and understanding that, and understanding there's certain things that you can't do as a young black person. I think it's incredibly frustrating, but to have a platform like this, a platform to express your passion, is incredibly important. And I was one of those kids where, you know, I think a lot of the common tropes of a young Aboriginal boy was that you will be good at sports. So, you know, I did the whole basketball, footy, cricket, all of that stuff. But, I mean, ultimately it wasn't what I was interested in. And the world of comic books welcomed me with open pages.
What do you think is in your toolkit every day to live a happier, I suppose, to look after yourself?
Yeah, oh, what a great question. I think that you definitely need that bit of resilience, but not just resilience in knowing that you can do something, resilience in knowing that your personality, yourself, your identity, your very core of a person is right for the job. Be confident in yourself. But for myself personally, I think it's connecting back to your community, connecting back to Mother Earth, understanding where you came from, but also giving yourself that time to, you know, refuel, re-energize your batteries, and don't be harsh on yourself. Understand that you yourself, you're just human. While you mightn't always make the right decisions, always check in with your elders and get their perspective on your journey. I think for myself, holding elders close to my heart is incredibly important, because they are the guides of our community. They've seen a lot of stuff go down, and if you can, I guess, benefit from that knowledge in any way, I encourage you to take that. But yeah, like you said before, if I was younger, I'd love this platform to have existed. You know, if this is your thing, reach out and have a yarn with me. You know, this is my passion, and if you're also passionate about this, you want to talk about the latest episode of Loki, or if there's a particular comic book you want to geek out about, I'm more than open to it.
Can we discuss how Cuphead is the most infuriating game of all time?
No, we can't, because I have a lot of emotions about that. And it looks cute. That's how they get you.
It looks cute. I can't get past like level 4. I gave up. I can't do it. It made me so mad.
You know, I'm going to Google it now.
Don't.
I did rage quit a few times, actually.
Don't do it to yourself, Andy. Never, ever look up Cuphead. They get you with the graphics. And
I'm going to do it. Just, I'm going to do it.
No,
I'm going to do it.
No.
It's a trap.
Exactly. And it will always sit there on my Xbox taunting me as the game that I downloaded and never actually finished.
Yes, just laughing at me on my shelf.
Oh, it does look cute. I wouldn't say it does look cute. But I get the sense if I try it, I'm going to definitely be off gaming forever.
Yeah.
Keenan, it has been so good to talk to you.
Pretty amazing to have spoken to you. And, best of luck with the venture ongoing.
Thank you very much. And, thanks for reaching out. Yeah, it was great to talk with you both.
Keenan was so generous with his time, and he's doing some incredible work in the Indigenous pop culture space.
I think he'd make a great mentor for someone.
Yeah, and you can get more information about what Keenan has been up to in our show notes or heading across and grabbing some merch at indiginerd.com.au.
And Indiginerd's quite active on Twitter as well, and browsing the feed, there's a lot of good cosplay. So if you like cosplay and keeping up to date with Indigenous pop culture, it is at IndigiConA on Twitter.
Awesome. So. Next episode. Yes. Now we've got our head around how good a supportive community works.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about the type of key player that can have a really positive impact on us.
Ooh, we will be talking about mentors and the types of things that it takes to make a good one, as legendary netball coach Lisa Alexander helps us to explore.
I guess I'm looking for people who are positive and want to encourage and want to support you on your journey. And you need people who are not going to tell you any bullshit, basically.
We'd like to thank today's guests for sharing their personal stories and insights. And for more information on any of the subjects, guests or references used in this episode, please see our show notes or reframeofmind.com.au.
Reframe of Mind is a Welcome Change Media production.
Tired of ads crashing your comedy podcast party? Good news. Ad-free listening on Amazon Music is included with your Prime membership. Just head to amazon.com/adfreecomedy to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy thousands of Acast shows ad-free for Prime subscribers. Some shows may have ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Democracy is hanging on by a thread, and misinformation is everywhere. I'm a political analyst and columnist, Danielle Moody.
And I'm writer Wajahat Ali. And we've come together to lead you away from the lies and out of the gaslight.
This is Democracy-ish.
Black and brown people already knew that there were multiple levels to our justice system, to our injustice system.
And I think those of us who are willing to be nimble and flexible and stretch into being something new, I think we will be the ones who might emerge in a healthier, better way moving forward.
We discuss the serious issues and threats that face our nation. Join us on Democracy-ish everywhere you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.